Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast. I am your host, Chris Eaton, and joining for this episode today is
Lenny Romero.
So, as we're recording this, it's Friday the 7th? 6th? It's the 6th. Maybe the 8th. 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 Okay. So, that would mean Monday, as of this recording, was the 25th anniversary of arguably the greatest kaiju movie ever made. There's only a couple of other entries I would hear argument in for that spot, but for this episode and for my own edification, we're going to be talking about the absolute best, the cream of the crop, the king of them all, Gamera 3. Lenny is the biggest Gamera fan. If you listen to our nearly completed show, The Rundown, which, sorry, life sidetracked a lot of that stuff. We got 2 episodes left. We'll get around to it soon. But Lenny is the biggest fan of Gamera on the face of the planet. And when I realized it was the 25th anniversary, I gave him a call. I'm like, hey, anniversary time. I think we should talk about this. And I know you got a few things you want to say. So that is what this episode will be about, because there's not enough Gamera in the world, is there?
No, there is not. But I'm happy we actually got something with Rebirth.
We got
something. He's still alive in some capacity.
Some form. And I'm hoping with the success of Godzilla Minus One, which, as of this recording, won like 8 Japanese Academy Awards. And we're 2 days away from finding out if it'll win an American Academy Award.
I'm actually going to watch the Academy Awards for that.
There's
just to see.
It's dead heat between that and the creator. What's the irony that
they both,
a Godzilla movie and the director of another Godzilla movie are for the same award. And they both have equal value. Like, I'm going to say now, like, I got a feeling Godzilla's going to take it because the Academy loves a good, like, underdog story.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The creator, while not like a fantastic movie, visually insane for a movie that cost $80 million and was shot on all prosumer camera.
What does that mean?
Pretty much you walk into Best Buy and get a 4K camera, and that's what they shot on.
Oh, shit. You know what? It starts to look like it now.
Yes.
When you think about it.
Because Gareth, you know, Gareth is an effects guy. So he, much like Monsters, excuse me, he oversaw all the effects in that movie. Which is bonkers. When you think about, like, that, the effects in that movie look better than, like, 90% of the effects out there. We're a little biased towards Godzilla, but come on. Like, they recreated 1947 Japan. Like, it's not just the fact that Godzilla looks good, but it's that whole world that they had to create from the ground up.
Which I didn't realize how much CGI it was until I watched that little, like, documentary that they
made. Some 650 shots with a team of 35 people. So, on a $12 million-ish budget. Yeah. We're seeing ish because they still haven't officially... I think Yamazaki even said himself, it's definitely not 15. It's lower, yeah. So.
10 to 15, right?
Yeah, we're just going to go with that.
That is still a meager sum in this day and age.
Look, I said when I walked out of that showing in Japan, I turned to Jessica, because she already watched it, and I'm like, look, if not for nothing, because I only got the gist of the movie, but I told her, I'm like, that's the best, cleanest-looking Godzilla movie, like, that looks like... that's on par with any Hollywood film that I've watched in the last 2 years. And her good friend Sam even chimed in. He's like, yeah, like, that's wildly impressed. That's Hollywood level. Like, they're there. They've gotten to it. So, like, that really opens the playing field for, you know, international films to look like American films. Yeah. I think that's... out of just being a great movie in general, I think that's going to be its legacy. Like, this was the turning point when, you know, Japan, that makes pretty much small-budget films, which we're going to talk about, actually CG that holds up pretty well. in a few minutes, because I should note, as we're talking, we do have Gamera 3 running in the background, because Lane's got a lot of things to say, but it's the Shibuya attack sequence.
Yes.
And we just watched one of the greatest shots of Gamera landing from the spinning with his head poking. Ah, it's so good. But we'll get to that in a minute.
I love how, like, they put the little steam effects in to let you know, like, he's kind of just adjusting his landing.
Yeah.
And then he just fucking KOs everything.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's so beautiful. Look at this.
So, yeah, so we're a couple of days away from Godzilla. It's won in awards, we'll know. But let's get into what we're talking about. Gamera 3. Like I said, as we're recording this, the Shibuya sequence is going on, which, when we talk about how goddamn good this movie is, right here is the prime example. This whole sequence of Gamera fighting the three gals and just laying waste to Shibuya during, like, rush hour. Like, this movie's 25 years old. It was made on, like, $4 million. It looks fantastic to this day still.
Yeah.
I know you got a lot to say. I'm going to shut my app. Lenny, talk about the love. Why? What is it about Gamera? And what is it about Gamera 3 that just makes it that endearing?
So, Gamera 3, I mean, let's just talk about the scene we're watching now, the Shibuya scene. The fact that we have this fucking KO'd... Oh, can we cuss on this?
I can edit it.
Yeah. Okay. We have this KO'd Gauss, all freaking beat up and bloodied, eyeball hanging out, like, torn apart after Gamera, like, gave him the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gamera comes over as the thing's, like, yelping. And you think it's going to be this, like, little blast. Like, it's just going to just blow up that area. Gamera lights up, like, the surrounding area.
And not only that.
Killing all these people. Like it's overkill for the Gauss. And, yeah. and it's just, yeah. like, destroys everything around it. It's a cool effect.
But it's hammering home what was set up at the end of Legion. So Gamera's connection to humanity severed. So it's like, it's the end of Batman Begins. It's like, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you. Like, Gamera's pretty much just now like, oh, you're just in the way? I don't have to worry.
Collateral damage.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I know people are pointing out, like, he saves the kid. I'm like, I don't think he intentionally saves the kid. I think it's just a matter of, like, the kid just happened to be in the right spot.
I think it was like a...
You think it's still keeping the theme of, like, keeping the, you know, protector of children kind of thing?
Yeah. Because I think Gamera still believes that children... are, like, innocent.
True, yeah. But that they don't go with that theme in this movie and this trilogy at all. There's a severe lack. You know, like,
that's why I was saying it's a wink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the only movie that actually has, like, a real, like, there's a child in it he's not the main character, but he's one of the bigger cast members. Like, all the other movies, like, I think that's why, much like, we were discussing the original series earlier and how everyone loves Gamera versus Baragon the best.
Yeah.
And that's because it's not a kid's movie. It's the only Gamera show movie that's
really dark.
Actually. Yeah. It's like an adult kaiju movie. And we all know that it didn't do well. So they're like, nope, got to throw more kids in there. And they just got progressively goofier and goofier. Wherein is this holy trinity of films.
Look at that.
I know. I love it. Yeah. Just this shot right here. So we're looking at the fireballs, the Gauss is escaping, and just the entire street going. And, oh my god. We're going to tell the story.
And you can totally see how, like, ruthless he is. Like, just as, like, look how, like, the collateral damage is big.
Yes. It's, like, it's hammering home. Like, when you and I were at the premiere, the G-Fest premiere.
Yeah.
Which we'll go into.
1999.
Yep. Without redoing that story just yet, when we watched, when that was like the first time American audiences got to see this movie.
Yeah.
And, like, we were hearing things like, if you were reading G-Fan back then, like, the reviewers are kind of like, oh, no, this, if you like Gamera 2, like, which people were like, at that point, like, wow, you can do, this is what a kaiju movie can be? Like, you have no idea what you're in for with this one. This movie is... This is like the, at the time, like the darkest, like, giant monster movie I've ever seen.
Yes.
And for us that were at that point, like, you know, probably like at that point, I was like 14, 15 when that event happened. I'm reading Image comics and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm getting into, like, hardcore anime. Not porno, but, like, I'm discovering Devilman, and I'm already in my lust of Guyver. I'm like, I need more violence in my life. And, of course, like, part of the reason why we love watching giant monster movies, because they're action-packed, but
yeah,
when you see that, you're like, oh, this is a whole different ballgame.
It really, really is. It was so new to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a marvel.
Do you think that's part of the reason why this holds up? It's because for us, it was a high watermark of, like, what a mature kaiju movie could be.
Yes. What a good kaiju movie can be.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you gotta remember, like, 99, the only other thing that we had offered that year... Actually, no. I'm sorry. I always get this mixed up. It came out the year that...
2000?
It came out with 2000.
Yeah.
But Mothra 3 came out the year before. But I bought the bootlegs at the same time, so I always kind of... Yeah.
That was kind of funny how all the bootlegs came out at the same time.
Pretty much. But yes, so this came out in March, and Godzilla 2000 came out in December that year. And one was made on a much larger budget, and then this was made on a micro budget. And we were watching Godzilla 2000, you're like, hey, maybe we can get a Godzilla movie like that Gamera 3. Because I'm perplexed that Godzilla 2000 is what Toho went with when they're like, all right, we're bringing him back. Like, so you're doing this little movie about him fighting a UFO and they're focusing on his regenerative? I'm like, that felt like a weird, wacky story to come back on.
But, you know, I feel like we should be reminded, they only get so much of time to, like...
Yeah, they crank that.
This movie goes from production to release. It's like...
Like 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like having a kid.
It's, like, so unrealistic.
Or, yeah,
and they still get it done.
I think Shinji Iguchi even said that, like, yeah, they had more time. There was that 3-year gap between this and Gamera 2.
Gamera 2.
Which, out of the trilogy... What does hold your top spot?
Gamera 2.
Gamera 2?
Gamera 2. For me, it's just... It's Legion. Legion is, like, my favorite kaiju. It's a beauty to behold. And I don't know, like, usually I don't like the small kaiju versus, like, super big kaiju kind of battles.
Mm-hmm.
But they pull it off, and... It's so fun.
Yeah.
Some of the shit that they do in that movie.
Yes.
I love the designs. I love Gamera. Like, I think these are top tier kaiju movies. Gamera 1, 2, and 3. Gamera 2's design is my favorite. Still love Gamera 3's design.
I think, yeah, I'm saying with you with Gamera. Like, the 3 design is...
It's, like, edgy.
It's edgy?
Yeah.
Without being, like, edgelord. Like,
yeah.
Again, you and I came up in the 90s of, like, Rob Liefeld and Tom McFarlane drawing comic books. Like, we had Nightfall Batman.
Yeah,
like that
is very appropriate for the time.
Yes,
the Gamera. Yes, it's like he's like so, like because I felt like Gamera 2 was such a nice, comfortable middle between Gamera 1 and Gamera 3 in that evolution. Like he's cool enough and like, you know, not cute. What's the word? Just like he's like, you know, his look is soft enough.
He's dashing. Like he looks like if he was Gamera 1. They kind of hewed closer to that kind of, like, bulbousy, like...
He looks cute.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, like...
Where the second one, it's like, no, like, it feels like he went from, like, a kid to a teenager to a drug-addled adult that got into like, punk rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like putting spikes on fucking Ghost Rider or something.
Yes. So, now
on Ghost Rider.
So let me ask you this question. So two things. What did you see first, and what started the obsession over Gamera? Was it the Kaneko trilogy?
It was the Kaneko trilogy.
Okay.
No, actually, Baragon. I only saw Barragon. Godzilla vs. Barragon.
Was it that FYE or the FHE
release? It's the one with the box cover art where they look like claymation kind of fighting on the front.
Yeah. The kids' home video release.
Yeah.
Do they have the little trailers at the end of the video too for like the next Gamera movie?
Yes. And that's how I saw the Gamera movies, mm-hmm. without ever actually seeing the other Gamera movies.
My dad got me for Christmas the first Gamera.
Yeah.
Had no idea what it was. I'm like, what is this? He's like, yeah, it's Gamera. I'm like, I don't know what Gamera is. I'm like, it's a big monster. Just watch it. I'm like, it flies? Okay, I'm kind of... And then the end of that video, and it's in that arrow set. God bless him. Because it's one of my favorite, like, dumb, slap-together, like, trailers that, like, they used to put together for those home video releases. With the guy, like, the overly enthusiastic, like, announcer. But I just remember, like, they were playing, like, it sounded like they just took the rifting theme from Genocyber and put it over this Gamera. So it was, like, hyping it up. And it was like, wait, there's more? And it's in color? And he's fighting Barragon. I'm like, huh. And then I got into MST3K, and that's how I discovered, oh, there's way more. So I saw.
There's your Dreamcast
game. Oh yeah, the Dreamcast scene. I remember. Okay, we'll wrap this up with retelling the story at the end.
Yeah.
Because that's the best way to talk about this movie. But I digress.
Yeah.
So. How did you come about watching the Gamera Trilogy the first time? What age were you?
I mean, I saw Gamera 1 and 2 right before I went to go see 3. So I was 10 years old.
Wow, you were 10. Okay.
Yeah. So I was 10 years old.
Tommy. Yeah.
My Uncle Tommy, you know, yep. Tommy. He showed me, I believe it was him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it was. He showed me Gamera 1 and 2, I want to say, like, just... Or maybe... I don't think I saw 3 first. There's no way I saw 3 mm-hmm. first. Maybe he'll know. I get to ask him. But I want to say right before this movie came out, he mm-hmm. showed me, or he, like, lent me his bootleg copies of 1 and 2. I watched them. Loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like... You know, and then they took us... My dad and my Uncle Tommy mm-hmm. took me and my brother to go see this
at G-Fest screen.
Yeah.
And it would become a defining moment of your life.
Yes, I will rank that as probably my number one movie watching experience of my life.
Let me ask you this. Did it have an effect on you pursuing art?
No, because I was an artist before that.
Okay. But were you drawing monsters still?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was drawing, like, back then, it was always, like, looking at references and trying to draw it. So I would always draw the still image from Sci-Fi Japan of, like, from the movies, you know, we'd get those, mm-hmm. like,
The production stills?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember they had one with Iris facing off against Gamera.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, they had the same one for, like, Godzilla against Orga. And I remember, like, just trying to replicate that stuff.
That's all I did. That's all I did in high school, too. I was just taking, like, everything from, like, any... So, my sites I would go to when I would have to go to the library to get on the internet, but they let you print out as much as you want. And they're like, yeah, you can just print all you want. So I was printing out, like, that's where my addiction to the internet began. Because you get an hour, so after school I go, I sit down, and I discovered Monster Zero News. And they would do the scans, like, they would get scans from Japan and upload them. So the first, all my news that wasn't coming from G-Fan at that point started coming from Monster Zero. And they were covering Gamera 3 hard. So they were coming real hard. And that's how I saw the design for Gamera 3 for the first time. Because there was I forgot what magazine it was. It was maybe like a Heroes or something like that. But someone took the scan and they're like, when you went on the old HTML site, and there was just the new headline, Gamera 3 design revealed. And I remember clicking and that picture just going deep, deep, deep. And then it popped up. I'm like, what is what? Because it was all three suits side by side. So you can see the evolution. I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, he's all badass now. Like, what is this? But that was, at the same time, the rumor of what the story of the movie was, which to this day, I'm like, this would still make a great comic book because it sounded so anime-ish.
It does. It sounds, this is a very anime-ish
story. 100%, well, we'll get into that. This is 100% an anime movie. But the rumored story was that Gamera was going to be fighting a new monster, but a team of Gauss, which they called the Hyper Gauss 5. I'm like, that captured my imagination. And so, like, there was like a weird mistranslation.
Yeah.
But they...
The Hyper Gauss 5?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I don't. It just sounds like a weird translation.
Yeah, but it was like a rumor that, like, these were like the precursors. There were these five super Gauss that had like X wings and stuff like that. Like, they had like two sets of wings. So it sounded like someone was just looking at the designs from the Gamera game.
Yeah.
And then, like, coming in and, like, posting. But, like, for like a year, because information would just trickle. It wasn't like today where it's like that. Like, you had to wait for someone in Japan to translate this for someone else, scan it, send it, and then for like a site like Monster Zero to pop up. And like, all right, here you go. Here's what it says it's going to be. But that, like, I immediately became like, oh, whoa, this is. And then each new photo that would come out, when they finally revealed Iris, I'm like, what God's name is this thing? Like, this is. Because the first time I saw Legion.
It is such a unique design, the Iris one.
The designs in this entire series are top notch. Because I remember getting my issue of G-Fan, like, in the summer of, or the winter of, like, 95. And they got the art poster for Gamera 2 when they made the announcement. Like, I remember it was a full splash, like, Gamera 2's coming. It's called, you know, Attack of Legion. I'm, like, looking at it, I'm, like, because it's Gamera, like, looking back, it's that beautiful, like, Noriyoshi-style poster. The art one. And then Legion is just like behind him, like, what the heck? Like, 10-year-old or 11-year-old was like,
yeah.
Like, what is this?
We just saw the figure for that, right?
Yep.
Someone's making a figure CCP for that. Is. That looks so amazing.
I want it.
I want it, really. It's expensive.
Dude, there's that. Okay, so there's also that stylized Legion figure that's coming out from the same company that did that Iris.
You know, but how come we haven't seen updates for it? I'm
probably still working, like, on it, because that was a huge piece.
That was a year ago, though.
8 months ago, I think.
No, it was, yeah, like, it was the last Wonderfest, right?
Wonderfest summer.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, we just had Wonderfest winter. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if we get to Wonderfest summer and it's still out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So let's delve into this movie. I've said it. I went on Twitter the other night when everyone was talking about the 25th anniversary, and I think I mentioned to you at times my theories, the comparison of the Gamera trilogy to the Dark Knight trilogy. They do share a lot of the similar story elements. Both the first movies are origin movies, where the hero is still perceived as, like, maybe that's the real enemy. Like, Batman is public enemy because no one knows about Ra's al Ghul. And the Scarecrow is kind of, like, a little, like, underground, but Batman's getting all the attention. And Gamera, it's the Gauss, but they're so small, no one's worried about them. But all of a sudden, this, you know, 200-foot turtle starts showing up. And they're like, no, that's the problem. That's the thing we got to worry about. They set up lore. They set up all the stuff, the characters. The second movie is almost standalone. Like, it just builds off a little bit of the lore from the first movie. Just, you know, the stuff you need to know.
Yeah.
But they're their own thing. The villains are creatures of their nature. Legion is not really even evil. It's just...
It's doing its life cycle.
Joker pretty much is just... He's just this... thing of chaos. He even says, he's like, I'm an agent of chaos. Like,
oh, he's evil, though.
Yeah.
For sure. But I get it, yeah.
Both characters, both Batman and Gamera suffer major losses. Batman loses Rachel. Joker wins that round. The Gamera, loses in trying to stop the Legion Flower from going off and takes the blunt. They both come back. They have a final showdown. But now the threat of our, you know, in Batman, Batman takes the fall for Harvey Dent. And now he's like, I'll be the bad guy. Gamma 2 ends with, like, the his connection with Asagi is gone. And the question is he going to be on our side now? And then we go right into 3, which goes back to the lore and answers all those questions. No, not quite.
No.
And you're dealing with a villain that connects to the first film. That's just a couple of them.
I love how it's like a mutant Gauss.
I love it too. Like, that's...
Like, if that's their representative for their shrine.
The thing that this series does well... I mean, it's written... It's co-written by... co-written by the guy that did... he wrote Ghost in the Shell, the anime movie. Not the manga, but he wrote the anime movie.
Yeah.
Like, the themes in this, like, no other kaiju movie at the time. I think Biollante maybe gets a little close. But these movies are, like, weirdly fantasy without being it's almost like He-Man fantasy. Like, there's technology involved in all of it.
Yeah.
And the world that they built to explain a giant flying turtle... Like, it's like, no, it's a bioweapon. I'm like, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. That's it. Because now the door's open. You're not worried about... Because you really think about it...
It's painted into the story. It's not trying to, like, follow anything that's in our reality.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, you know, no, there was an ancient civilization. They figured out genetic engineering.
Which I think
what else did they have? And then you have this, you know, super advanced, like... Gauss, like, DNA-based, you know, monster that they're like, oh, yeah, no, they had other bioweapons, like, laying around. And now what happens when those get loose? Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's genius. It's fucking amazing. It's amazing. You know what the funny thing about that is? Like, it gives reason to, like, okay, why isn't this society still around?
Mm-hmm.
Well, their creations ate them.
Yep. The scripts are tight on these movies. One is probably the loosest. And you give that a pass because they're building. They're like, that's the foundation. But once they start getting high up there, like into the clouds, man, they the sky literally was the limit. Like, I would have been happy with another like 10 years of these movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of ideas you guys left on the
is there a story for that though? The Gamma 4? Like, didn't they ask, I am probably making this up, didn't they ask Kaneko to come back for a fourth one?
Yes, I believe so, and I believe he famously said, no, like, we're done. Like, I want to do other things. And then he went off and directed Death Note. And a Godzilla movie.
Yeah, that's right. At least
he got the Godzilla movie.
He wanted to, right?
Yeah. Well, that all came out, like, these movies came out of the fact that one, he wanted to do a Godzilla movie, and Toho said no at the time. And then two, he was going to direct a Daimajin remake.
Oh, that would have been legit.
And it fell through. So they're like, well, what about Gamera? He's like, yeah, I got a take. Because I think at the time, Kodokawa's like version, they were going to hew closer to the original films where they're like kid-friendly. He's like, no, we're not doing that. Like, we're going to do like contemporary adult kaiju. And it blew a lot of people's minds. Like, these films, like, the fact that they knew to stop when to stop is, I think, they're one of the reasons why they have lasted as long as they did. Like, you can sit there, you can ponder, you can, like, expand. Like, you could go any place, but you know what? This is all we're giving you. It's the gold box, and it's the gold briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Let your mind fill in the rest. And they're well acted. They're well directed.
Very. Like,
the cinematography in these are unlike any other like kaiju movie at the time. Like, talk about... Okay, Shinji Iguchi, an anime guy. Like, yes, he did live action stuff, but the man's probably most famous for like helping create the world of Evangelion.
Yeah.
But he's like, I want to play with puppets. And they're like, yeah, well, how can we make this look good? Just give me 10 minutes.
You know,
let me frame.
You know, at the Q&A at Famous Monsters Dallas back in 20...
Is it 16?
16?
Yeah, because it was only one. Because he tore for Shin out here.
Yeah. It was, he only did, yeah. So it was only one year that they did that, whatever. He apologized to the fans because we were all wondering what happened to that animatronic that we saw and all the preview images.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was supposed to be in the movie. We actually filmed for it and everything. We just decided to not include it. And then he, like, just started saying sorry to us. Yeah. And I'm like, oh. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
But, I mean, look. I mean, he had a micro budget to work with. And he came up with some of the most brilliant sequences in any kaiju movie. That landing sequence in part two. So when Gamera gets resurrected and goes to fight Gauss.
Yeah.
That
part two,
yeah, part two, because we're gonna get to some of the awesome stuff in three, but the landing when he's flying in,
you mean Legion?
When Gamera's, he's fighting Legion. I'm sorry, when he's coming in to fight Legion, and it's that circling shot. Do you remember the first time watching that?
Oh, it was beautiful.
What the hell?
They got a kaiju, and I love how it doesn't look silly.
No,
it looks great.
Yes.
It looks like what a giant monster would look like if it had landed and slid through the
thing. And then I saw a video of how they did the shot, and it's brilliant. And they're literally the camera is just going this way a little bit, and they just put a model on pretty much a Lazy Susan and just start spinning it. So Gamera's just pretty much coming down, but it gives the illusion that he's like sliding through. I'm like, that's absolutely genius. This one, he upped himself. That Shibuya sequence, you realize, like, okay, we are matting, like, live-action shots of the city, and then I'm going to do these highly detailed models, but we're only going to do close-ups. Like, you need to watch that stuff. Like, it's a lot. Well, half of it's like puppets. Like, the Gauss head's a puppet, but it doesn't look like a puppet, though. Like, it looks like that's a suit or, like, a marionette that they're working with. And then as Gamera's, like, walking through, they're like, no, you're going to see him through, like, glass or a wide shot from down, so you get this...
Just a shitless silhouette.
Yes.
Yeah.
The him coming out of the flames. And it's like, it's all in shadow, but just the flames, I'm like, these are all paintings. This is a painting come to life.
He did that, so I was mentioning that earlier, how beautifully that was done, the practical effects on that Gauss just all torn up right there in the train station,
and
head still moving, eyeballs hanging out. You can see his edges are like chipped off and everything, just hanging on by meat. Sorry to get sidetracked, but this is a scene I would like to mention. When I first watched this, I was like, who is this house? Who are these people? It took me a while to realize it was Ayana's family.
Yeah, her extended family?
Yeah. And this scared the hell out of me. I had nightmares about this.
Oh, when she finally sees what Iris did to all of them?
Yeah. No, the body right here.
That's right,
it's a perfect jump scare.
Yes. Just the life sucked out of it. Like, it looks like something out of Toby Hooper's Life Force. Yeah. Oh, it's great. Again, that's... And not only that, but yeah. Gamera's always violent.
Uh-huh.
That's the beauty about Gamera. Like, you're getting... But the kids movies were cartoonishly violent. Where this, they're like, no. If this stuff actually happened, like, you're going to see the fallout. Like, we're not pulling punches on... Like, we're not going to do gore porn, but you're going to see the effects of what monsters can do to people.
Yeah. That's what I really liked about it. They didn't have to be super gory to convey how, like, just...
Yeah.
Violent it was.
It was a perfect amount of violence that, you know, you could maybe show, like, a little older kid, but it's nothing that's... out of, like, too far out. But this one, like, when you see the bodies flying, when Gamera's shooting the plasma balls at Gauss, and just Gauss is dodging them, and it's just lighting up the street, and those Like, you just see people flying the from the explosion. Oh, my God. You're like, watching that for the first time, you're like, oh, what? Oh, they did it. They're going there. Like, Kanango, God bless him, because he had some balls to explore some of the stuff in these movies that, look, let's be honest, the Toho Godzilla movies were never going to do. Like, watching Minus One and actually seeing Godzilla stomp on people for the first time.
You know, if you really look close, you can see the blood.
Yeah.
You can see just the mist.
That still blows my mind. Like, every time I watch that movie, I'm like, I can't believe you broke your number one rule. Like, Godzilla's not supposed to kill. Dude, or, like, you're not supposed to show him kill people.
Dude, they injured Godzilla. They blew off his head twice.
That blew my mind. Beyond, like, the Godzilla source showing up in the beginning.
Yeah.
And just tearing those guys apart, I'm like, oh, you broke. I thought Shin Godzilla broke a lot of rules, but this
one. Minus One broke their, like.
It's their Batman no kill rule.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you talk.
To them at least.
Yeah, to them, yeah. Like, there's certain rules with Godzilla. He's got to have three rows of spines, he's got to be gray, and you can't show him, like, killing people directly.
And he can't, like, no major injuries. Yeah. Like, no amputated arms, blown up heads.
Meanwhile, Gamera was doing all of that. Like, Gamera's getting
Gamera was doing that in the show days.
Yeah. And in these Kaneko movies, are like, okay, we're going to turn this up. Like, this is why I say it's like an anime, because the OVAs of the 80s and 90s, they were all about that ultra violence.
Yeah.
Where limbs are getting picked off, sometimes used as weapons after they're dismembered. Just, you know, the weird biotech stuff, like just blood all over the place.
Dude, I know there's more to talk about in this one, but from your example that you're saying right now, Legion in its second form, when it starts shooting
the red dots,
the red tentacles, the super sharp tentacles all through Gamera.
Yeah.
There's some going through his head. It's like taking off chunks of his face.
And you're seeing the bits come out, the blood splatter and everything like that. Like,
it like impales him and he's like stuck.
Yeah, stuck. He can't move. And when it pulls him out, like, you just see like spurts of blood coming at him. It's what people wanted, I think, out of
any Godzilla movie. Almost any.
Look, the goriest Godzilla movies we ever got was Gigan, Small Monster to an extent, and I would argue Mechagodzilla, the original Mechagodzilla.
Right.
That's about as violent as they ever got, but there's a reason why, I think that's part of the reason why those are beloved, because Godzilla gets messed up. Like, you actually see him get really messed up, and he comes back. Like, the thing that captured my, part of the reason why I love Mechagodzilla the most, is there at one point, like, when Mechagodzilla just hits Godzilla with the finger bomb,
missiles? Yeah.
And he's just got the covered in blood. You're like, that's awesome. Yeah. Like, that's metal.
And it's so amazing when he gets up and then he starts testing the powers.
Again, going full anime, like, he goes super robot and he becomes magnetic. Like, didn't even need to, like, he absorbed lightning. Now he's magnetic. Okay, cool. Like, he's Ernest from Ernest Goes to Jail now. That's awesome. Meanwhile, Kaneko's like, yeah, so we're
stepping that up.
We're stepping that up. Like, Gamera's gonna have a Guyver-level mega smasher come out of his chest in the second movie. What are we gonna do for the third movie? Let's see. We can go full mega anime smasher. Hero. Yeah, that's what, when I saw that the first time, I'm like, he did a mega, like, that's the mega smasher. Like, I was already into Guyver at this point, and I saw when his chest opened and he fired that giant mana beam, you're like, that's a mega, he went full mega smasher. This is insane.
It was bonkers. Huge too. It wasn't like some small beam. It was like Kamehameha Dragon Ball Z size. Oh,
that's when I said these are anime movies. These are like embracing the fantastic, where Godzilla movies weren't even doing that. Like, they'd have wild ideas, but they never really, like, played on them. Where Kaneko at one point would just be like, yeah, here's something you didn't know Gamera could do, and he's just going to be able to do it. And it's going to be insane. His whole body's going to open up and turn into a cannon. the ending of this, I'm like, okay, how are you going to up doing, you know, the Mega Smasher? Okay, Gamera's going to blow off his arm.
Oh, my God.
Iris is going to absorb all his energy and fire it back at him. And he is going to reabsorb it and do a Terry Bogard Shining Finger attack. And you're going to...
Into the open wound.
And not only that, but the way it's shot is full anime like. It's just the swing, like the fact that the arm, the thing
all
I
the
love...
air going by.
The thing I love is like when it forms up, and it's just burning, and then it turns, like, you see him, like,
he flexes it.
Flexes it, and you're like, cool. And it's that swing, like, they play it out, like, this is the thing I hate about, like, people argue, like, yes, certain things in animation you can't do in live action. But the thing that animation does best is framing. And Kaneko and Higuchi showed, well, you can translate a lot of anime stuff if you know how to shoot it right. They did the perfect thing where it's like him, like American movie, he would have just formed it and it would have just been, the next shot would have been going into the, no, you have to get the dramatic swing with the, as you said, the air going by, like you feel it, like cutting to everyone, like, you know, running because they know something big is going to come, and then the impact. Talking to the great, late great Akira Toriyama as we talk about this. There's a fantastic...
Rest in peace.
Tis a sad day. But there is a great... there's a great article I read one time breaking down why Toriyama was king of the fights. And he broke down this fight. It was the fight between Vegeta and...
Goku?
No, it was the big guy.
Oh, Raditz. Oh, sorry. Raccoon.
Raccoon, yeah. Raccoon. And he broke it and he's like, as a comic book artist, this is beautiful, because look, panel one, the setup. Panel two, it's a close, like, you see Raccoon, like, going for the punch. Panel three and four are one, and you get Vegeta hitting him, and then in the same panel, you just get you see him fly, and you haven't left the paneling. Like, it's like, you have no idea how ingenious this is. That's what Kaneko and Higuchi did. Like, everything is plotted out perfectly. Like, the shots they got are absolutely fantastic. Any other things you want to flay this movie with?
Wait, what? Wanna...
You have anything else you want to pump up this movie with?
Should we start talking about our movie experience before this part comes up?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Or are we trying to save that till after that? Okay. Because I know it's going to be brought up. Or let's just talk about that experience specifically.
Let's talk about that.
Like, so right now, we're about to come up to the... It's coming close to the scene that's, like, the earth-shattering scene that we all saw when we watched Gamera 3.
I posted this, define a perfect shot. You know exactly the shot I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
The moon?
Oh, there's that one?
Yes. That whole sequence is gorgeous.
I was talking about the sequence in general. Yeah.
And then it goes into that. So, yes. Like, talking about framing. Like, and by the way, fantastic use of CG.
Yes.
Like, the CG is sparse, and it's only where it needs to be. But watching that in 1999, like, the CG was ahead. Like, that was damn good. For a Japanese movie in 99. And I still say it holds up to this day.
We were fucking... Sorry, yeah. Again with the cousin. We were pumped to just watch that. Oh my god! And like,
so
like you said before, the theater erupted when this scene happened.
So this story is, I've told it once or twice. I think we told it once on the.
We probably told it on the
one of the rundown episodes. Yeah. But for those who haven't heard it, so. G-Fest came out to L.A. in 1999. They held the convention in Burbank. And when... So Lenny and I were young boys at the time. You were 10, and I was about 14. Actually, no, I think it was 15. Yes, because I got a job the next year and had to beg my boss to let me go to the second year. So G-Fest comes out. It's been in Chicago the entire time. First time in L.A., I beg my mother, can we go? And she's like, you have Comic-Con, like, right after that. I'm like, but this is Godzilla. I gotta go. So we went. My mom, being the gracious mom that she is, this is the first year her and my dad got divorced. So she's like, all right, I'll take you. We walk in, get our tickets and everything, and they hand us the pamphlet. And on the back, they had the advertisement, Gamera 3, at the Egyptian Theater, Sunday. And I see that, and it's like 3 in the afternoon. And I asked the person at the at the booth, I'm like, what is this? Like, yeah, we're showing Gamera 3. Can anybody go? I'm like, well, you gotta buy tickets. But yeah, you can go. I'm like, do you sell tickets? So yeah, we got plenty of tickets. So we're at the my mom's walking around the show. She's rolling her eyes. She's like, all right, that's, you know, she's just being a good mom. But we go get something to eat, and I tell her, I'm like, can you drive me to Hollywood tomorrow so I can go watch this movie? And she's like, you want me to drop you off in Hollywood? And we're living in Orange County. Oh, not close. And
oh, you know, it's not terrible.
No, yeah. But this is also 1999. Hollywood was a different place, too.
True.
So she laments. She's like, fine, I'll buy you a ticket. How long is this thing? I'm like, I don't know. It's probably like 2 hours long. Fine. Drives me up the next day.
Was this like, did we watch Moon Over Tao with this one? Was it a double feature?
I don't know. I didn't stay afterwards. Okay. I had to leave. So I don't know. They might have played Moon Over Tao because I remember people talking about seeing Moon Over Tao.
Yeah.
So that might have been afterward. I left right after the Q&A was done.
Go ahead, go on.
So go get in line. Didn't realize how many, like, everybody from the convention, like, that was, looking back, I feel bad for the dealers, because that felt like one of those things, like, we're just shutting the show down today, because we're all going to go watch Gamera 3. Like, it felt like everybody from the convention was there, and now realizing years later when I finally made friends with more people in this community, they're like, yeah, I was there. Oh, I was there too. Yeah, I was there. Lenny was there.
Oh my god. I was a little kid with my brother Tommy and my dad. Tommy was all upset because my little brother like broke one of his like Gamera blister boxes. Which I think my brother did it and Tommy blamed it on him.
Did you go to the show that year?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so you went
that
to
was
G
one
Fest.
Of my first I think that was my first G Fest.
That was my first G
Fest. Yeah, even that show. It wasn't in 98, was it?
No. That was in Chicago.
So, 99 was the first LA one.
Yes.
So, that was my first G-Fest, yeah.
And I actually, my brother and I entered the video contest.
And was it called G-Con at the time?
No, I think that was like the second year it was called G-Fest.
Okay.
So, yeah, G-Con
was Chicago.
Chicago, like 95, 96, 97, and then I think 98 they changed it to G-Fest. That's a whole different thing for a whole different day. Okay, so you were at the show, so then I'm assuming Tommy and your dad got tickets. I'm like, no, we got to go to this.
Yeah, I'm assuming. I think Tommy definitely, like...
He's like, we got to go.
He's like, yeah, he knew what we should go see.
Tommy's a movie nut, so I knowing him, the second that was announced, he's probably like, no, we can't miss this.
Yeah, I know all this and watched a lot of this because of him. And then, you know, my dad was there. It was a blast. Oh, my God.
Okay, so... The Egyptian Theater is in downtown Hollywood. It's on Hollywood Boulevard across here from the Pantages. It is an old movie theater from the 20s. It used to be a major theater for a while. My buddy George talks about seeing RoboCop there. He's like, yeah, there's two other theaters in the back. I'm like, what? Where? He's like, yeah, they're in the back. There used to be three out. But the main house has a balcony, like an old-timey balcony. I got in, I sat right under, on the bottom floor where the balcony ends. So I'm like under the balcony, but like, it's like, that's the last row. I can see the screen perfectly.
We sat under the balcony, yeah. But to the left. We had to sit like the top left.
So we probably weren't too far. Not knowing like we would cross paths years later.
Yeah. I know, that's wild. Some Final Destination show.
I know. So, we're on there. Like, I'm talking to the two dudes I was in standing line with, and I still couldn't get over, like, how many people were there. That was a
long line.
It was a long. They sold out. That theater seats like almost like 800 people. Like yeah. It's huge. I can't. I'm saying almost because you have to understand how many people were in this theater. So it's all old 20s Art Deco.
It's filled. It's every seat. There's not They're one single empty seat.
Standing room only. Yes. Yeah. So they come out. Kananko introduces the film with whoever's translating for him. Film rolls. Theater goes quiet. And, you know, the movie starts. It's a slow burn at first. But we get the nightmare sequence, and we're like, huh, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's badass.
There's a lot of auditory reactions throughout the film. Yeah.
I see these kids these days talk about when people ask, what's your best theater going experience? And they're like, oh, the Avengers. You know, when they all got together, I'm like, oh, you children. You children!
Although I won't knock them. That's a good pick.
Yeah, but I'm like, you have not lived yet. You haven't lived when there's 800
Kaiju fans
who are seeing something that we've all dreamed of. Well,
we didn't know what we wanted until we got it.
Yeah. Everyone loved Gamera 2.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Gamera 2. We thought we're getting more of that. Like, no, we're getting something totally different. When that Shibuya sequence starts, and you see that shot of Gamera landing, how loud did the crowd get?
It was like cheering for The Rock coming out on stage, you know? Maybe not that audible number.
Like but you could probably hear that entire theater from outside on the street.
People were clapping.
Oh, look at this. So we're at the sequence. This shot, when this came up, there was a concussion of a, holy shit.
So good.
Because it was like that, like you have not seen imagery like that ever
at
in a kaiju movie.
Yeah.
None. Like we had just gotten, like we were coming off three Mothra movies that if you watch those Mothra movies, the effects are rough, but yeah. To be fair, it's not their fault.
It's lovable.
Yes. I love the Mothra movies, yeah. But
it's
when you're
obviously
watching
not the best.
A little Model T Rex. That Cretaceous Gideon scene, you're like...
It totally takes it out when you watch something like Jurassic Park, and then you go and see that, and you're like, what happened to the T-Rex here?
Meanwhile, you're getting like this Hollywood-level production, like this dogfight. Like, everyone was at the edge of their seats. Like, my entire row was sitting forward. I was sitting forward. And we're like, the CG is blowing us away. But what we're watching, like, whoa, we've never seen an air, like, because Gamera 1, the air fight is the two puppets.
Yeah.
This is like, whoa, quality.
We're actually watching the CG fight.
Yeah, and you're like, this actually looks good. Like, this doesn't look, you know, subpar or anything like that.
And what they're talking about, like, oh, like, you know, something's entering the battlefield. Like, we don't know what it is.
The storytelling is brilliant. And even at that point, like, no one's picking up on it yet, like...
There's like, it's an unknown entering the battlefield, or whatever
like,
they call it. Yeah.
But you're so caught up in this, you're not even realizing Gamera's showing up.
Yeah.
And then this spot right here, with the cloud, and then he comes out of it. Right there. Yeah. The shot in between the hornets, you're like, whoa! And then, when I say... The reaction from this next moment nearly destroyed this theater. Am I being hyperbolic at any point?
No.
There's no hyperbole.
I will always remember how much everyone freaked out at this scene.
This mid-air dogfight, we were losing our collective goddamn minds. We're like, what? Like,
because they're banging into each other, and you start to see some flesh.
Yes, like Gamera's like biting into him. And it's perfectly cut. Like, the tension gets cut between the command center moments. You're like, go back.
How many times have you imagined wanting to see Gamera do his spin attack another kaiju?
Right here. They did it. They did the thing we for years are like... Because they kind of did versions of it in the...
But it's slow, you know?
It's slow because they're just rolling the costume around. Yeah. They're like, no, like, Gamera could do, like, if he's got a spiky shell, like, he can cut, like, you know, like, Gigan's blade or something. Like, it's a video game. We're all playing Street Fighter at that point. Like, the insane moves. Like, you can do Guile's, you know, Sonic Boom to him. When that finally happened, when he pulled in and started doing the spinning attack, I went audibly deaf because everyone stood up. Everyone stood up on their feet. There was screaming. There was, like, hammering. The balcony is above me, and I turned to the dude next to me, and we're both looking at him like, that's going to come down. That's going to get... This place is losing its collective mind right now.
That theater erupted. And, like, I think we were missing some of the dialogue in that scene. Because we were still freaking out.
Like, we can't believe what we just saw. We're playing in our head. Meanwhile, the government's trying to kill Gamera.
Yeah.
We're not even paying attention.
Like, oh, me, 10-year-old me, is like, oh, they're shooting the missile at Iris. No.
Yeah. No. Like, yeah, that, like,
and
we
he's
were
still spinning, chasing
still
after
spinning,
him.
Still spinning. Oh. Like, yes. And by the way, the only time we kind of see him spin, like, properly in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, even the opening, like, he's not in the flight. Oh, my God, the flight form. This whole thing, we were on the edge of, like, they just started. They just started this fight. My God, I can't believe what I just saw. Like, the whole thing was handcrafted with care and beauty. And everyone turned into a 9-year-old kid at the same time, getting up on their feet. Like, people in their 50s at the time when they were watching this were losing their mind.
Yeah. And then Kaneko, at the end of the movie, was saying, like, I never... Like, when he's telling us, like, in the Q&A, he's like, I never imagined a response like that.
Yeah, that first thing, because he comes up, because in the years since, met people, there was people that were, like, near Kaneko. And I've heard stories of, like, when that moment happened and everyone got on their feet and collectively, like, that when you felt the pillars of heaven shake and that theater, like, they're like, are we having an earthquake? No, it's the excitement from this movie. There are a couple of people that are sitting next to me near Kaneko, and he literally just leaned out of his seat and was looking around wide-eyed. He could not believe the reaction he was getting. And he explained, when he came up and explained, he's like, I never expected anything like that. Because in Japan, everyone is reserved.
Yes.
You save your applause for the end. But he's like, no, American fans are rowdy.
Yeah.
We like to get into it. And I think deep down, the filmmaker in him, he's like, I have accomplished this. I've done the thing I set out to
There's
do.
There's no way he was mad at that.
No, none at all. Like, you could kind of see it. He was a little happy about it. He's like...
Yeah.
Deep down, it's like what everyone, when you want to know you've done good, it's not people telling you you've done good, it's the reaction, the raw emotional reaction that you can't help. And that moment, I guarantee you, he's going to go to his grave. He's like, I'll always remember Los Angeles. I'll always remember Gamera 3 because that's probably where, you know, I will, I understood. I did the thing. The landings, oh my God. There's a kid of this. I want it so bad. The anime influence on all this, like, again.
I honestly wish his feet would stay like that, too.
The points?
Just points.
In any other world, if they, like, CG.
Obviously, if they had the technology.
Yeah. But I know, I like the high heel design, though. It's an interesting look.
I'm all right with it. I'm all right for the functionality.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like the pointed design. Because you know what it reminds me of? It reminds you of Jehuti from Zone
yes,
of the Enders.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Shinji Yaguchi, who worked on freaking Evangelion, storyboarded that whole thing. Like, you look at the angel designs, Iris is 100% an angel design.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like, we're bringing the world of animation into live action, and we're doing
it. He looks like a bioweapon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then,
if you were to imagine a bioweapon,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what it would look like.
There's... The score for this movie, too, is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
It just... It works on so many damn levels.
It's mystifying.
It is. Yeah. It's that... that hard orchestra, but it's it, you know, at the same, it's giving you the sense of like dread, but like there's a, as you said, there's a mysticism like element to it.
There goes your shots.
I get the framing, like
framing.
The, just, yeah, just the match shot. The match shots are insane in this movie. Like they hold. Like I went back and rewatched Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla again recently, just because I'm like, you know what? Why not? It's the 40th anniversary, and there's that one shot of Yuki walking on the beach as Godzilla's coming up, and you're looking at it, and you're like, that's a little rough. And 3 years later, like. Less than 3 years, 4 years later maybe, we're getting on half the budget, we're getting shots like this. It's like, yeah.
I forgot his landing.
Yeah.
Again, I still love that flying form.
I love the flying, yeah, the, oh my god, the rocket into
with,
it.
With the wingspan?
Yes. That, again, turning him into like a sea turtle when he flies. One of the best. Oh my god! Yeah, the
design decisions.
Yes. Well, yeah. So you got a suit, you have a match shot, and you have CG, and then you got like real explosions in the back. Oh my god! Why isn't that a piece? The burning piece. The Gauss or Iris. With
are you
the,
telling me?
Yes.
For a drawing?
I'm telling.
I'm too slow.
This is what I do to Lenny. Every time I see something, I'm like, Lenny, that's your. Oh.
I love.
The blast over. Oh, it's so good. Again, Higuchi trying to top himself with the landing sequence in the last film. We lost our damn minds landing. Like him, like
he makes Gamera such a functional kaiju.
Like, he does, yes.
Gamera is agile. He makes Gamera agile.
Like,
and it doesn't look silly.
No, yeah. Not at all. Like, there's no, like, it's the idea, like, he's a big turtle that flies, yeah, but you buy it the entire time. There's at no point where, like, this is, oh my god, the rain?
Yes.
Like, this movie is a painting come to life.
Look at those transitions.
Oh, I remember seeing the teaser trailer. That was the teaser. Do you remember the teaser trailer? Did you ever see the teaser?
No, I was 10. Remember? They just took me. That's how I like watching movies, is just going in blank and just being shocked by what I'm seeing.
So here's the thing about the world of bootlegs back in the day. When you would buy a Godzilla bootleg, a good Godzilla bootleg, so they would take these they would be ripped from the Laserdisc. And after the movie was done, they would let the Laserdisc roll, and the Laserdisc would come with all the trailers. And so, like, for the most part, they would leave the trailers on, so you get, like, every version of the trailer.
Shit. I didn't realize how much of a mat it was.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You're getting that giant, the reflection of the water.
Yeah.
So the Gamera bootleg I bought at G-Fest.
I can't remember watching this movie silent and still having, like, a blast with it.
Well, look, how many times have you watched it?
Oh, thousands.
I've watched this movie, about like 24 times. Like, there's no point where this is to me, it's like RoboCop. Like, I can put this on at any point
and then just listen to it. Background.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I know this movie verbatim. I know this inside and out. And like, there's at no point like you and I went and watched the full trilogy last summer.
That was fun. We did that in a day, right?
Yeah, it was all three back to back. Like, they took like a 15-minute break. Oh,
but I showed up. I didn't miss one.
Yeah.
I only saw 2 and 3.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. But I watched all three back-to-back. I think total it comes out to like... Like 5.5 hours?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
No. I've done all three Back to the Future movies together, too. And it's about the same, because those are not long movies. And watching them back-to-back-to-back like that... You see the evolution jump from film to film.
Yeah.
And when you finally get to this, you're like, just about like 2 hours ago, I was watching the original one. Like,
oh my god.
It feels like, yeah, like when you watch them like that in the full trilogy like cycle, you're like, how far these guys came in like 4 years. Like, it's bonkers. All right. Any last words on the wonderment and beauty that is Gamera 3?
Any last words?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Still my favorite movie experience of my life. I say Guillermo 2 is my favorite, but when it comes to close second, this is like 0.1 away.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very amazing.
In a post minus one world, where do you put it in the echelon of the best of the best?
It's always so hard.
What are your people, what are overall?
Because people make me compare Shin to Minus One. I'm like, they're different.
They're
movies,
very different movies,
man.
But is it overall enjoyment? Let's get Lenny's, like, what would be your top five?
Kaiju movies in general?
Yes, just kaiju movies.
I mean, Minus One is up there now. That's a hard question because there's a lot of good stuff.
Mm.
If I had to pick from each one from each franchise, definitely two and three. I love one,
mm-hmm.
but two and three stand out.
Very much so. Like I said, it's like watching Batman Begins and then watching both Dark Knight movies.
Yeah.
They're totally different, even though they're the same things.
These are like movies I like showing to people who aren't like kaiju fans. I'd say Pacific Rim is up there. It's one of my top five. It's hard to pick my favorite Godzilla movie, but I think Godzilla vs. Biollante is still my favorite. Minus One is damn close to my top. Because that was a great film. And I still love Shin Godzilla. You know. So, but that's like its whole other list. So let's just say Godzilla vs. Biollante for now.
Okay.
So what do I say? We'll do Gamera 2, Pacific Rim, Godzilla vs. Biollante.
That's four.
It's three.
Is it three?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean... I impose my own rules. I don't want to pick more than one Godzilla film now, so I'll
you
just
don't,
say.
You don't. Like I said, it could be anything. It could be.
I'll say Gamera 3, Gamera 2, Godzilla vs. Biollante, just as a franchise choice.
Mm.
Pacific Rim, and let's think. I know there's another special kaiju movie for me out there, but I'm trying to remember.
Put you on the spot. I got you blanket. But so definitely these are in that top. And you know you're absolutely right. When people ask me like, well, what's a giant monster movie I could watch? Like when film fans that don't normally watch this stuff.
Yeah.
I always tell them like, find the '90s Gamera trilogy. Watch all three.
It's not even an overcomplicated story.
No, it's not.
Very straightforward.
But I always tell them, like, watch all three. The first one's going to look a little, you know... It's like
it's
Batman
old.
Begins compared to the other. It's like, but you set it up, and when you get to the other two, it pays off in spades.
You know, that was a good question. I'm going to ask that to people. You only can have a one per franchise choice.
Mm.
Top five kaiju movies. I want to ask you.
Yeah.
How do you think? I mean, I think you were about to ask me this question, but like, how do you think it stands up, the trilogy against Minus One right now for?
The trilogy. If we're going trilogy as a whole, story versus Minus One. I'm still taking the trilogy. Because with me, it's very rare that I watch a movie and I walk out, I'm like, immediately like, oh, this is forever going to be, like, in my top 10. The last movie that did that was Walking Out of the Raid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, no, that movie's perfect. That movie's absolutely perfect. These, I've watched so many times, and they pretty much quantify... ideally what I want out of my kaiju movies. Like, we have, you know, 70 years of kiddie films at this point.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm older now, so yeah, there's times I want something a little mature. That's part of the reason I love Minus One, but I also grew up on 80s anime, and I want stuff like this. I want kind of like, there's a weird balance of grounded in realism with the fantastic. I'm like, you can, if they can pull this off, anyone else can pull this off.
Yeah.
I think that's my only thing. My only disappointment with GMK, and as much as I love GMK, it's that Kaneko didn't bring Higuchi back in. Like, Kaneko did all, you know, he supervised the effects himself.
Yeah.
And they didn't give him the time. And if they had given him the time that he wanted, like, he could have turned Godzilla into something that looks like this.
I think that's the problem with Godzilla movies. Mm-hmm. It's just the turnaround time was never, like, sufficient.
I'll give them credit. They have learned. They have learned a good lesson. Like, 7 years between Shin and Minus One. Minus One had maybe, like, a year and a half of, like, production. Yeah. Like, 2 years of, you know, counting pre-production. So, you can see it, like... in there. You saw the same thing with Shin. They took their time with Shin.
And the director had his time with his design.
Yes.
He had time to improve his design.
I do love that Minus One design, though.
I do, too.
I love it. Like, yeah. Especially after going on the ride, because I love the ride look.
Oh, you did go on the ride.
I did go on the ride. Dude, okay.
We'll save that until after.
Yeah, we can wrap it up with this.
Okay.
The ride is... So, my buddy Kazuki, shout out to Kazuki, he was adamant, like, you're going to the ride while you're out here, right? I'm like, yeah. Okay, just let me know. He met me out there, and he was hyping it up. We did Ultraman. Ultraman was fun. Like, it's a good time. If you've been to California, if you've been to Disney, California, and you've gone on Soarin', California, it's the same setup as that.
Oh.
But... you're not flying over the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, with the Ultraman ride, you're one of the, you know, the SSSP, and you're on jetpacks fighting Zetton and flying through the streets of 1960s Tokyo. Godzilla is different because you're in a military jeep. So you're getting the full bounce. You're getting the move. And this jeep is, like, got parachutes on it. So, like, if it has to, like, it can do, like, a jump kind of thing. And you are being rocked and you're being chased by King Ghidorah. Which is I love that Ghidorah. I love the Wyvern Ghidorah design on it.
You actually got to see the Rodan.
I got to see the Rodan. And not only that, but here's something that... So the online video that's out, which the whole ride... So there's a whole video of the whole ride that's clean, that's up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And Toho's not taken down, which shocks me to this day. That does not prepare you for the experience, the ride. And not only that, but there is a pre-show that I had no idea about. So Kazuki told me too. He's like, oh yeah, there's gonna be this thing. We were the only ones riding it the first time around. They were it. Like, he was shocked. He's like, there's that zero wait time. I've never seen that. Like, four times I've been here. We go up there, and I learned from the Ultraman thing. So the pre-show, you're in this room. It's no bigger than this living room we're in now, and they have two projectors. And they project on the walls like a VR simulation. So with Ultraman, you're like an underground SSSP, like, and they're showing you different kaiju, like, you know, they're giving you Yamazaki's Ultra Kaiju, like all his designs. With the Godzilla one, you're in like a church that's like an outpost, and Godzilla's coming. But they show you Ghidorah's attacking the city, and then, like, the room starts shaking, like it starts vibrating from the subwoofers, okay. And then cracks form, and an actor in full military regalia comes out, stands up on this podium, and he's reciting his lines for Kazuki and I. We're the only one. The room fills like 30 people. That's how many people you can get on the ride at a time. And he is not. There's a, like, if this was Universal, the actor's going to be like, it's just you two. You guys just want to go to, you know, get on the ride? I'm like, okay. No. He's giving you the full experience. He's acting as if he's acting in front of 2,000 people. And I, as a 39-year-old man, I am smiling from here because this guy is, like, full in. He's like, oh, just, I'm like, oh. And I got Kazuki in my ear translating, and I'm just like, are you seeing this? And then up on the screen, they show Godzilla swimming in. Like, he's on his way. But the room shakes again, and the guy stops, and he turns and looks at the wall. And the wall in front of the door that you exit crumbles, and Ghidorah is, like, right there and staring in and trying to snap at you. And that's when the ushers open the door, like, hurry, 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 get in. It's a full experience. I got on that ride.
I'm so jealous of you.
I got on the ride. By the way, the greatest the anime sequence we were talking about is happening right now. I got sat down. Thank God they realized American fans are going to want to come ride this thing. Because I got my fat ass in that seat, and I got the belt buckled, so I was good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you'll be able to get on. They lift you over. This thing is on a half dome to give you a 3D-ish experience.
Yeah.
And there's a dude screaming, there's a general screaming at you the entire time as you're getting the motion of the seat, the car going, the truck going through the debris of Tokyo. And then Gator grabs you and bites you, and you're in his mouth, and you see his fangs, and the simulator is going all the way back and bouncing as Gator's bouncing, and when Rodan attacks, he drops you out of your mouth and you start parachuting down, so it's like a glide, so they can control the camera, and the ride is just gliding as you're watching Rodan and Gator fight, and then just Gator just decks Rodan to the ground, so he turns and he just blasts Tokyo Tower, and you go through the falling pillar of Tokyo Tower, and then you see this dust cloud.
Was Rodan cool?
Rodan was awesome.
Yeah.
Rodan's great. But when Godzilla comes up, he's roaring, and you're going right at him. The beauty of the way the thing is set up is the screen is so immersed. You're we're going to hit him. We're going to land. And you land on his shoulder, and then the ride bucks. You go, whoa! And because it's supposed to be the engines kicking, and the tires trying to... You're driving up Godzilla's shoulder. You go on his back, and then,
She's back.
Fred Flintstone going down that damn brontosaur, you ride down his spines and off his tail.
You can tell him that.
And it's the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I called Jessica afterwards. I'm like, if my plane goes into the Pacific on the way home, just know I died happy. That's all I want you to know. It was that good. Damn. We rode it five times, and it never got old. It's something you have to. I tell everyone, it's worth the hour train ride outside of Tokyo. It's worth the $32 admission to get into the park that you can't ride anything else because you're too big, because it's a kiddie park. But just for that, it is 100% worth it, because it is everything I've ever wanted out of a Godzilla ride. And it's cinematic, and you can tell all of the assets Yamakaze ported over for Minus One. I watched Minus One, and I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is the same model, and he just tweaked it. So, it's absolutely stunning. Fantastic. Yes, you have to go, sir. You have to go. I plan on going back. I will go back, and I have to ride it again.
I feel so...
It makes you feel like a kid. And you feel like a 9-year-old walking out, that joy you got when you were a little kid watching Godzilla movies, it's all in there. God bless Yamakaze, because as much as, Minus One is this serious romp, makes me want to see what he can do. Okay, I made my serious Godzilla movie. Now I'm going to make my fun Godzilla movie. And I don't think the world's ready for it. Because I think it's... Because you... Watching the man talk, he's 60 years old, and he still has that childish joy to him. That, I'm like, you can definitely do something fun with this. You could do a lot of... There's some big fun stuff I know you will be able to do. Anything else before we wrap? He's got his dog. What's your dog's name again?
Arrow.
He's got the cone of shame on.
Yeah, because he scratches his eyes too much.
Yeah, I can't have that.
Anything else? I'm jealous of your ride experience. No, man, we're watching the end of this film. Oh, good question.
Mm-hmm.
What of the three of the trilogy?
Yeah.
Which movie do you think has the best character? Characters.
Human wise?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say three. Three is a very human led story, where two, it's an event, the character. It's a
government
led. Yeah, it's very government. Yes, Sagi comes back, but that one is more about stopping this impending apocalypse. Where part three is 100% a character driven drama that happens. It's very similar to Minus One in that way. Yes, the monsters are part of it, and Gamera and Iris very much are main characters in this movie. Like, they are treated as main characters. Where Godzilla in Minus One, he's not treated as a character. He's treated as a disaster, if you will.
I was about to say, an actual disaster.
Yeah. And to be fair, I kind of prefer my kaiju to be treated as characters. It's part of the reason I can't wait for Godzilla and Kong.
Yeah.
Because very much, you know, you watch the previews on that, and it's like, oh, Kong is, he is the main actor in this movie. Like, they're emoting through the monsters. Like, you're seeing, like, all this stuff. Like, Godzilla has personality.
I hope he has a lot more personality this time around, Godzilla. I feel like they always skimp on him.
The last movie I love because they make Godzilla into a asshole. Like, it's not like the first two where, like, you know, he's the defender.
Yeah.
Like, even watching that first time, like, oh, you can tell. Like, he just hates Kong. Like, because his family did his family dirty. And so, and it's just like, I'm just beating on you like a bully because I can. When they did that first shot, when they did that shot at the end of the aircraft carrier battle, when Kong's sprawled out and he's like out, and Godzilla just kind of goes, yeah, you take that. I'll be back.
And they you better not move from there, homeboy.
They do the Hong Kong fight, and after Godzilla just like wails on him, and you see like Kong's been dodging his atomic heat ray. Yeah. And then finally hits him in the back that sends him flying. And they cut that little shot of Godzilla just smirking. Smiley. I'm like, I love this. I love, you know what? We've never gotten to see Godzilla be a prick. He's been like, he's been fun. He's been like just an evil monster. But you've never gotten to see him be a cocky prick. And I absolutely adored it. I'm like, you're doing the thing I want. You're giving the monsters character, and that's works.
And then he got the 1-2 piece up by Mechagodzilla.
Yes.
He really didn't even touch him, you know that?
Yeah, very much, yep. Oh, it was Gogeta and Brawly.
Yeah.
Once Gogeta goes Super Saiyan Blue, Brawly never lays a finger on him. Go back and watch that fight.
That's basically...
Yeah.
Gogeta is Mechagodzilla.
Yep. Never gets one offensive move in. It's all Kong. Which it works.
Oh, but we laughed at this scene in the movie. Remember that? Where he was like on the phone?
Like, there's a flock of gals coming up. Which, by the way...
He's like, how many?
A lot.
Lots.
Lots. And that's the thing. For years, like, depending on which bootleg or version he got, they always changed...
They changed it.
Yes, the ADV, the joke didn't land. It was like a moment of brevity in this super serious moment. And then it's like, how many? A lot. That was the final reaction. That got this giant... When we talk about that screening, when he says a lot, that theater erupted in laughter. Like, perfect. Absolutely perfect. When the credits rolled on this, at 5 minutes... Am I joking? Am I being facetious at all when I say it was a 5-minute standing ovation?
Yeah, we were up clapping and... He didn't do anything right. He was just standing there while we all, like, clapped
He
at
was
him.
Just kind of like... He was like, kind of taking, Kanenko was like taking me. He was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. And when everyone finally, like, the crowd didn't go like, no one even said, hey, okay, let him, like, they just let it happen. And the crowd finally, like, all right, I got to sit down. Yeah, I've been clapping too long. And we got, you know, a nice Q&A. If I recall, it wasn't even that long.
Because it was a double feature. There was another movie after.
I think it was like 20 minutes or so. Like, he said a few words. Said thank you, but forever. Gamera 3 is locked in. Part of the reason I love it so much is because of that screen. Your first time on a movie really does dictate how you're going to feel about that movie going forward most of the times. And it's like me with Mad Max Fury Road.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yes, it ends in the Terminator. Oh, such a damn good movie. Such a damn good movie. It's a shame we don't have more like this.
It is, eventually.
Alright, I think we're going to wrap it up there. On that note, if you guys like what you're hearing, hopefully you're subscribed to us, and you're visiting our site, which is thekaijukingdompodcast.com. Our shows, including Common Kaisers and the soon-to-be-finished rundown, Gamma Rebirth, are all part of that same podcast feed. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get finer podcasts. We're also on social media. We are on X at the Kaiju Kingdom, Instagram at the Kaiju Kingdom, and Facebook.com/the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast. If you want to make any comments, if you have anything you want to say, or just see, I constantly post news, updates, and everything on there. Lenny is an artist. He is a working artist, and he has just published his first officially licensed Godzilla work. Lenny, where can the good people find more of you?
They can find me on pretty much all social media, mostly Instagram, Etsy, all the good stuff, at Lenzations. L-E-N-Z-A-T-I-O-N-S.
And if they want to pick up your Godzilla cover, they can just hop over to IDW.com, right?
Yes, it's still an IDW online exclusive.
So it's Godzilla Rivals Jet Jaguar, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Megalon versus Jet Jaguar.
Megalon
versus Jet Jaguar versus Megalon.
So that issue is out now. I'm looking at it right now. The front cover is a beautifully colored in rendition of your work, but on the back is the original black and white, so you get a 2-for-1 deal.
Correct.
Yes. And then if you guys are heading out to... And you're going to be at Anime Expo this year?
Yes.
And Comic-Con, right?
Yes.
So if you're heading to any of those big shows, come say hi. Buy some work from my man, because it is absolutely gorgeous. I hype it up all the time. I think he gets a little embarrassed, but I stand by it. The work speaks for itself.
I'm trying to stay humble.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? You do damn good work, sir.
Thank you.
All right, and that will do it for this 25th anniversary edition. Well, no, wait. I just said that wrong. Scratch that. Reverse it. For this edition of the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast, happy 25 years of Gamera 3.
Yes.
Utter joy. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll see you next time.